Welcome to Torah Timachanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study Melachim Beis, Perek Tesvav, Chapter 15. Chapter 14 continued our journey, watching both kingdoms, Yehuda and Yisrael, kind of struggling along. On the Yehuda side, Amatya and his mistakes, both religiously and then militarily. And on the Yisrael side, Yoash and Yeravam. And we met the next generation of kings, Azariah or Uzziah from the Yehuda side, and Zechariah from Yisrael. Chapter 15 begins with the Yehuda kingdom, telling us just a few details about a huge and tragic event in the life of Uzziah. But the big story in our parak will be the beginning of the exile of the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom. And that is a story that will continue over the next few chapters, but it begins here. But first, to Yehuda. In Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Bishnas Esrim v'sheva shana liyerava melech Yisrael, malach Azariah ben Amatya melech Yehuda. In the 27th year of Yeravam, the king of Yisrael, the king Azariah ben Amatya, the king of Yehuda, rules. Remember, Uzziah, or Azariah as he is called here, has been made king by the people of Yehuda after his father Amatya was assassinated, in a story eerily similar to that of his father. Many Mefarshim find this number that Uzziah became king in the 27th year of Yeravam extremely problematic. And we will just cite the Seder Olam that it was in the 27th year of Yeravam that Uzziah not became king, but became an afflicted king. As we will soon see, he got Tzoraz. In verse 2, he was 16 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 52 years in Yerushalayim. His mother's name is Yechaliyahu miYerushalayim. He was almost the longest ruling Jewish king. In Pasuk Gimel Vayas Hayashar Be'inei Hashem, he did right in the eyes of Hashem, Kechol Asher Asah Amatyahu Aviv, like all that his father Amatya did, Rak Habamos Lo Saru Od Ha'am Mezabchim Umekatrim Babamos. And this enduring problem that they did not turn away from the private altars, the nation continued to serve and to burn incense on their private altars. And then comes verse 5. Vayinaga Hashem es HaMelech Vayihi Mitzora Ad Yom Moso Vayeshev Beveis HaChafshis V'yosam ben hamelech al habayis shofet es am ha'aretz. Hashem struck the king with a plague, and he was a leper until the day of his death. He lived in isolated quarters while Yosam, the king's son, was in charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. We find out he gets tzora'as. Why? Why does this happen to him? Once again, Divrei Hayamim fills in the blanks. Azariah, or Uzziah as he is called in Divrei Hayamim, was a great king and a tzaddik and hugely successful. And one day, he decides to bring the ketores, the holy incense sacrifice, on the Mizbeach, the altar, in the Beis HaMikdash. After all, he is a tzaddik, he is holy, he's a king. Why should he not be allowed to? The horrified Kohen Gadol, Azariah, and his Kohanim run after him into the Beis HaMikdash, crying out that this is something only for Kohanim, that he is not allowed to do this. But he refuses to listen, and they are unable to stop him. And there we have Uzziah standing there over the Mizbeach, with the Kohanim standing behind him. When all of a sudden, Tzora'as, leprosy, breaks out on his forehead, they rush him out, and his Torah stays with him for the rest of his life. He dies a leper. And once again, we see the fall of a great man toppled by the dangerous and seductive drive of gaiva, arrogance. His son Yosam is praised both in our chapter and in Divrei Hayamim, one of the only kings of Yehuda with no fatal flaw. There is a Gemara Sukkah Daf Mem Hei where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai talks about how great were the merits of Yosam ben Uzziah. And Rashi on the Gemara explains, Yosam ben Uzziah tzadik haya v'anav yoser misha'ar melachim v'zacha b'kibud aviv v'alav ne'emar ben yechabed av. Malachi Aleph Vav. Rashi says that Yosam ben Uzziah was righteous and humble more than any of the other kings, and he merited kibud av, honoring his father, as it says in Malachi, ben yechabed av, a son who honors his father, and that refers to Yosef. Where do we see him honoring his father? Right here in our parak, in our chapter, that although his father was infirm and a prisoner of his home, Yosef took over his duties, but not his title. He was the son of the king, and not the king. And furthermore, Rashi tells us, V'chol dinin shahaya dan omin b'shem aviv. Every time he judged the people, he would quote his father, he would refer to his father. This humility, is it what ultimately saved him and helped him balance what so many others could not carry? The status of being a king, the responsibility to lead the nation, to be the role model, to keep them focused on the mission of being Hashem's nation, while remembering your own fragility and humanness. And now we leave the Yehuda kingdom in the able hands of Yosef, and in verse 8, turn once again to the kingdom of Yisrael. Remember, we have met the fourth descendant of Yehu, Yoachaz, Yoash, Yeravam, and now Zechariah. All told, this family of Yehu, blessed by Hashem, ruled for basically a full century. But it will end amid turmoil and violence. In verse 8, Bishnah 38 shana la'Azariyahu melech Yehuda malach Zechariahu ben Yeravam al Yisrael bishomron shisha chadashim. In the 38th year of Azariyahu, the king of Yehuda, Zechariahu, the son of Yeravam, ruled over Yisrael in Shomron for 6 months. Verse 9, Vayaas hara be'inei Hashem ka'asher asu avosav lo sar mechatos Yeravam benevad asher hachatias Yisrael. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem, just like his fathers did. He did not turn away from the sins of Yeravam the son of Nevat, who had caused B'nai Israel to sin. Would it have been different had he chosen differently? But by now, the promise had been kept, and he is not making any changes. Hashem's patience with his family is up. He rules for 6 months, and in verse 10, Vayikshor alav shalom ben yavesh, vayakehu kabal am, vayimisehu, vayimloch tachtav. Shalom, the son of Yavesh, conspired against him, and he killed him in front of the nation, and he ruled in his place. He is not at all intimidated. He kills him in front of the people. Verses 11 and 12 remind us that Hashem had kept his promise. Four generations from Yehu had ruled, each one dying peacefully, leaving a son in their place. But they didn't keep their commitment to bring B'nai Israel back home, and the time has expired. But there is no promise protecting this rebel Shalom, kind of ironically named. And in verse 13, we see that he rules for only 1 month before he too is killed. And now in verse 14, we get to know Menachem ben Gadi, who kills Shalom and does terrible things. In verse 16, Az yakeh Menachem es tifsach ve'es kol asher ba ve'es gvuleha mitirza ki lo fasach vayach es kol haharuseha bikeya. At that time, marching from Tirzah, Menachem subdued Tifsach and all who were in it in its territory, because it did not open. He massacred its people and ripped open all its pregnant women. So he conquers Tifsach. This was an Arami city which was on the border of Tirzah, a Jewish city, which was his hometown. According to most of our commentators, the meaning of this pasuk is he first tried to make peace with Tifsach, offering them to accept his rule and pay taxes. But ki lo pasach, they did not open for him. They did not accept his offer. And he responded with such violent and cruel force, even killing pregnant women. Malbim explains ki lo pasach differently. There is a Torah military law that when you attack a city, you must leave one escape route for refugees to leave from. And ki lo pasach, against Torah law and in a cruel fashion, he did not open that space. And that is why so many in Tifsach perished. Again, this demonstrates the cruelty of this new king of Yisrael. In verse 17, we hear that Menachem ben Gadi rules for 10 years. And in verse 18, the sadly predictable, Vayas hara b'enei Hashem lo sar me'al chatos Yeravam ben Nevat asher hachatias Yisrael kol yamav. He did evil in the eyes of Hashem. He did not turn away from the sins of Yeravam, the son of Nevat, who had caused B'nai Israel to sin all of his days. Up until this point, the enemy nation we have heard most about was Aram. really starting back in Melachim Aleph, and certainly in our Sefer. If you had to guess an enemy, you would rightly guess Aram. All that is going to change. As the Assyrian Empire is gaining power and control, they are going to impact our story more and more. In verse 19, this Menachem ben Gadi makes overtures to Pul, the king of Ashur, offering him 10,000 silver talents to support his rule. This Menachem ben Gadi does not pay the money himself, instead taxing his own army in verse 20, requiring each to pay 50 silver pieces. In verses 21 and 22, we close the era of Menachem ben Gadi and are introduced to his son, Pekahiah. We are now in the 50th year of Azariah Melech Yehuda, and this Pekahiah rules for 2 years. And yes, in verse 24, we hear, Vayasar ra b'enei Hashem, lo sar mechatos yiravim b'nevat asher hechatias Yisrael, the running theme. He did bad in the eyes of Hashem. He did not turn away from the sins of Yeravim b'nevat, who had caused b'nei Yisrael to sin. And in verse 25, another assassination. Pekahiah's general, Pekah ben Remaliah, kills him in his palace. This Pekah came with 50 men and either killed him near Argov and Aryeh or with men from Argov and Aryeh, but he took over. So, verse 27 reminds us we are now up to the 52nd year of Uzziah, and in verse 28, here again, Vayas hara b'enei Hashem, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem, lo sar minchatos Yeravam b'nevat asher hechatias Yisrael, he also did not turn away from the sins of Yeravam, who had caused B'nai Yisrael to sin, and this is it. The ticking time bomb for Malchus Yisrael has finally reached its point, and in verse 29 it begins. B'mei Pekach melech Yisrael batiglas pil eser melech Ashur. Vayikach es Iyon ve'es Avel bis Ma'acha ve'es Yanoach ve'es Kedesh ve'es Chatzor ve'es Gilad ve'es Hagalila kol Eretz Naphtali vayaglem Ashura. In the days of Pekach Melech Yisrael, Tiglas Pileser, the king of Assyria, came and took Iyon, Avel bis Ma'acha, Yanoach, Kedesh, Chatzor, Gilad, Galil, all the land of Naphtali, and he exiled them to the north. These cities are all quite north, and the beginning of the exile. The cities are conquered, and the people are exiled to Ashur. Who was this king? In these chapters, we will meet quite a few kings of Ashur, Pul, Tiglath-Pileser, Shalmaneser, and soon Sennacherib. But the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that all of these kings were actually Sennacherib, given different names. In all, there will be 8 kings of Ashur that the Gemara tells us are all Sennacherib, called by a different name. In verse 30, 2 years after Pekah assassinated Pekahiah, he himself is murdered by Hoshea ben Elah. The pasuk tells us, Vayikshar kesher Hoshea ben Elah al Pekah ben Remaliahu vayakehu vayimisehu vayimloch tachtav bishnas esrim liyosam ben Uzziah. Hoshea ben Elah rebelled against him, against Pekah ben Remaliahu. He killed him, and he ruled in his stead in the 20th year of Yosam, the son of Uzziah. The problem with that number is Yosam actually only ruled for 16 years. But as we will soon see, Yosam's son, Ahaz, is a terribly evil person. And as Rashi explains, we want to mention him as little as possible. So the pasuk counts the years by Yosam in his grave rather than using any data associated with Ahaz. And now, after all the assassinations, violence, and ultimate conquest and exile of Malchus Yisrael, our chapter returns to the relatively peaceful life of the southern kingdom of Yehuda. And the chapter concludes with a broad, positive analysis of the rule of Yosam. He became king at 25. He ruled for 16 years. His mother was Yerusha Bas Tzadok. And because we savor psukim like this, let's read verse 34 again. Vayas hayashar be'enei Hashem, kechol asher asa Uzziah aviv asa. He did good in the eyes of Hashem. He did right in the eyes, like everything that Uzziah, his father, had done. And in Divrei Hayamim, where this is also spoken about, Rashi reiterates the idea we mentioned earlier from Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and actually says, this Yosam was unique among every single king. Rashi goes through the entire list of kings of Yehuda. each one with a tragic mistake. David with Uriah, Shlomo, his wives, Rechavam, who left the Torah of Hashem, Aviah, who acted like his father, Asa, who took money from the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, Yehoshaphat, who joined Achav and fought a war together with him, Yehoram, who killed his brothers, Ahaziah, who listened to Ataliah and went against Hashem, Yoash, who killed Zechariah, Amatziah, sacrificed idols, Uzziah, who brought the Ketores, and, spoiler alert, Chizkiyahu will make his mistakes in three areas that Chazal do not agree with him. Menashe, who was a terrible Rasha, and Yoshiyahu did not listen to the Nevuah, and Tzidkiyahu did not do the right things. But Yosam! Yosam is the exception. Lo nimta bo shum dofi. There is not any negative trait found in him. So what is a successful king? And what is a successful life? We don't know as much about this Yosam. In fact, many of us may have met him for the first time today in our chapter. He is not as well known. There are no dramatic stories or miracles that we learn about him. What we do know is Lo nimtza bo dofi. No faults were found in him. What we know is that he achieved what almost no one did. He remained an absolute tzaddik and a humble man, even while carrying the challenge of being king. In Divrei Hayamim, it tells us, Hechin drachav lifnei Hashem. He analyzed and prepared his ways before Hashem. He was a worked-on person, and therefore he succeeded. And the chapter concludes with some troubles that begin to face Yehuda. Bayamim mehim hechel Hashem lashliach b'Yehuda, ritzin melech aram ve'espekach ben Remaliyahu. That in those days, Hashem started to send to Yehuda Aram, and ironically, the king of the northern kingdom, Pekach ben Remaliyahu. They began to make trouble for him. And finally, with Yosam's death and burial, his son Achaz takes over. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha Hashalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha Hashalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.